Queen's Castle. Chapter 16. Dirk was waiting for Lee to return. His naked buttocks were perched atop the high back of a solid old antique overstuffed chair. He had a darkly potent scotch and soda in his hand. Most of his orgiastic hangover had disappeared, but now and then he would shift his seat on the chair back as his protesting prostate gave him a hard, dull nudge. He knew that liquor was not prescribed for this ailment. When his father had suffered with it, he had learned a bit about this agonizing affliction that was peculiar to the male of the species. The gaffer used to say it was like having a baby lodged in his bloomin' ass, Dirk recalled. He couldn't have known what it was like to have a baby, no more could I. But it sure feels like some bloke stuffed a wad of hurt up my ass. He slid down off the perch and went to the library. Then he remembered that he had left the recorder in the dining room. He went in and got it and brought it back to the library, where he put the machine on the old desk. He sat in the leather-covered desk chair and thought for a while. He didn't know what it was that compelled him to treat Lee the way he did at times. He was a beautiful young man, there was absolutely no doubt of that, and he enjoyed the more gentle things he introduced to him in the field of sex. He seemed, at times, in fact, as though he were content and would continue to be content just loving it up with him, spending all their time deliriously saturated in each other's sexuality. But he also enjoyed the more peaceful moments, those sweeter times when they just crawled all over each other with purely tender feelings, kissing and caressing and striving to satisfy each other. What the hell, how many chaps did he know who had ever had that with a real lad, a perfect virgin of a boy like Lee? Was it because he was jealous of what Lee would become, or the men he would have after him? Was his possessiveness the real root of his problem? Hell, Conway, just because you took his ruddy virgin ass, you don't own him for life. Sure, you're living here with him as if you were lovers, but that was a business proposition, remember? He heaved a big sigh and took a huge swallow of his drink. No, by damn. If I keep things just the way as they are now, at least I'll be able to feel like a man while I'm here. If I let up on him, he might spring back in the other direction and start treating me like a piece of property again. And I worship the lovely lad so much that I might not have the guts to turn the tables a second time. What do they call it? Psychological advantage? I've got it now, and I don't want to lose it. He pulled the recorder toward him and dictated his orders. When he finished and rewound the tape by the starting position, he shut it off, then closed his eyes and sat there quietly for a while. He opened them when he heard the engine of Lee's returning car.